Please to Luke chapter 1, a message that we, scripture passage, we usually see at Christmas time and go over it there, but this is more than just a Christmas message, as it we have the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, and with what is coming to her, that song's message is for her too, be strong in the Lord there, for she was about to give birth to our Lord and Savior. And this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to look at Mary's meetings. Two meetings that we see Mary have today. And first one is with the angel, and second one is with her cousin. And so we'll first look at her meeting with the angel, and then Elizabeth, her cousin. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Word of God that is eternal, and it is infallible, and it's relevant for today. And so we pray that you would help us from this passage of Scripture today, speak to our hearts concerning the needs that we have, that you would convict us where conviction is needed, and encourage where encouragement is needed. And we thank you for the opportunity we have to look into your Word this morning. And we thank you that you have given it to us so that we can know your mind and we can know your will for us as well. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we first look at the meeting with the angel, Gabriel comes and gives a revelation to Mary. And first we're going to see the revelation about Mary. Then after that we're going to see the revelation about Jesus. As the angel comes, in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So the first thing we see about Mary was that she was pure. She was a virgin. And so purity is something that we all must have in our lives. And because of sin, none of us have that to start with. But the blood of Christ is shed for us so that whenever we trust Christ as our Savior, He gives us purity. But after we get saved, we sometimes stumble and fall in sin and we don't do those things that are right, and we become impure again. Well, thankfully, we don't have to get saved all over again, but we do have to remain pure, and it's through confession of our sins that we ask the Lord to forgive us and to cleanse us, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins. And so God is getting ready to use Mary. And one of the requirements for our being used of the Lord is being pure. And so we must be pure vessels for the Lord through whom the Lord can flow. Now in Mary, it was a very literal sense because God came into her and He really was flowing through her literally. But with us, it's through God's Holy Spirit. And so she's pure, but not only that, in verse 27, she's promised. She's promised to Joseph. The word is espoused in verse 27 there. And so here she is getting ready to be married. She's engaged is a word that we use. And during this time of engagement or espousal, we won't go into all the details of the Jewish system of divorce, but that's when this would happen. Later we see that Joseph was thinking about giving her a bill of divorcement because they weren't married. And so they were engaged at the time that he was thinking that. But here she is, she's promised. She's made a commitment to him. And we have that similar thing where a ring is given, a diamond ring, and this commitment is made at the time of engagement. And then, of course, the promise when the marriage takes place as well. And so we see about Mary, not only is she pure, and she's promised, but in verse 28, she is preferred. It says, "And the angel came to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee." The words highly favored is a word that means accepted. And it's only used two times in the Bible, this particular Greek word, charitu, there. The other time it is used over in the book of Ephesians, where it says that we, once we get saved, we are accepted in the Beloved, and the Beloved referring to Jesus Christ. So the only way that we can be acceptable to God is to be in Christ. And that little prepositional phrase, in Christ, is used throughout the Scriptures. And whenever we are in Christ, we are accepted by God. Because He doesn't accept us on the basis of our being pure, like Mary was pure in the moral sense. There's not enough morality that we can have to cause us to be accepted to God. The only way that we can be acceptable to God is through His grace or favor. And so the angel says, "Thou art highly favored. God has poured out His grace on you." God has poured out grace on America. And we thank the Lord for His grace. God has poured out grace on us. Whenever we get saved, it is through God's grace that we're saved. But notice the angel said to her in verse 28, "Thou art, blessed art thou among women." Notice what the angel does not say. The angel does not say, "Blessed art thou above women." God never intended for people to pray to Mary. God never intended for people to worship Mary. Mary was lost, just like we're lost. Well, she was morally pure, but she needed a Savior, and we'll see that in just a little bit. But the angel says, "Mary, you are blessed among women." I mean, when here's God, He's going to take on human flesh and come to earth. And He can only do that through one lady. And of all the females that have lived since Eve only one could be the mother of Jesus. What an honor. You can't imagine. You know, and she hears this message that she's going to have a child, and she's never been with a man. And so she had a problem there. She was perturbed. The word is troubled here in verse 29. When she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. And so she's trying to, as we would say, she's trying to wrap her brain around this. She's cast in her mind. She said, I don't understand. How can this be? She's troubled here. She's in the planning stages of her wedding. She's engaged, and all of that, just as ladies plan for that today and make all the arrangements and all of the things that go into a wedding, they did the same thing there. They had a feast, usually a week of feasting there. And so now, how's this thing going to interrupt my wedding there? And so she's troubled at this saying. But whenever we find ourselves troubled about anything, the Lord speaks to us through His Word. And God spoke to Mary through the angel, and He said, Mary, fear not. He called her by name. Aren't you glad that God knows your name? He knows us very well. And so He says to her, Mary, don't be afraid. And He is putting her at ease. I used the word pacified here. You think about a pacifist, someone who, you know, doesn't believe in war. Well, in her mind, there's a war going on. She cast in her mind what kind of salutation this could be, and she's troubled there. She's trying to understand this, and God speaks to her through the angel and says, fear not. And God says the same message to you and to me. No matter what we might be going through, we can read those wonderful words that you see throughout the Christmas story especially, but not just there. Fear not. Be not afraid. Jesus told His disciples, be not afraid. It is I. And so no matter what God has in store for us, and He had something really big in store for Mary, He says, you don't be afraid. God's got this. And no matter what we're going through, God has it as well. And we can trust Him. But then in verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. And so now He's telling Mary, you have been picked. You have been chosen. From all the women in the world, God chose you. It just must have floored her. They're trying to, as I said, wrap her brain around all of this. Now, it says, thou shalt conceive. She hasn't conceived yet, but she's going to. And when we think about God's omnipotence, in the mind of God, she's already conceived, you know, because God doesn't have past, present, and future. God is eternal. But in the mind of man and in woman, she's not pregnant yet, but she's going to be. And when God says it, it's just as certain as if it has already occurred there. But her response may cause something different to happen. Oh, we can speculate. We don't know. God has His plan, and God's plans are eternal, and God, what He does is not dependent upon man. But what if Mary would have said no? Well, she didn't there. And so she was picked, and in God's mind, it was already done. And the angel said, you're going to conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek, which is equivalent to the Old Testament, Joshua. And the word Joshua means Savior. It says, you're going to name Him Savior, because the child that's going to be born through you is the Savior of the world. Wow, what an honor there. How is Mary going to handle this? She's a young woman here receiving this news, and so now she's puzzled. In verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She's not had physical relations with a man. There's no way possible that she could be pregnant. And so she asked God, "How can this be?" Have you ever asked God, "How can this be?" Is it wrong for us to ask God, "How can this be?" Mary did that. She asked the angel and the message was coming from God, and she asked that question, "How can this be?" And the answer is no. It's not wrong to ask God, "How can this be?" Whenever we are asking for clarification or understanding, it is wrong when we ask in doubt. For whatsoever is doubt is sin. So she wasn't doubting. She didn't understand. And so whenever she asked a question and she wants to have understanding, and she says, "How shall this be?" The angel answered her, verse 35, and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And so probably at this point, Mary did not know that Elizabeth was expecting a child. It was the sixth month there. And why would she even think that Elizabeth was expecting a child? She was old. She was beyond the years of becoming pregnant. And so the angel says to Mary in answer to her question, "How can this be?" He says, "Well, your cousin Elizabeth is also with child. And here she is in her old age. And God has done that. And verse 37, with God, nothing shall be impossible." If God can give life to your cousin Elizabeth, who is beyond the years of having a child, then God can give you a child without your knowing a man, because nothing is too hard for God. Aren't you glad of that? I mean, we know that mentally, don't we? But to know it mentally and to act on it in faith can sometimes be two different things. We know God can do anything that He desires to do. And so one last thing we want to see about Mary when the angel came to her, and that is found in verse 38. And after he says, nothing's too hard for God, if you want an answer to your question, how can it be? With God, nothing's impossible. So she responded by saying, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And what we see here is that she's pliable. She doesn't understand fully. She was troubled at first, and she's puzzled by it. But she says, "God, even as Jesus prayed, not my will, but thy will be done." And so here's Mary. This has never taken place before. There's never been a child born of a virgin before. She's the first one and the last one there. And so, but she is ready to be used of God in whatever way God wants to use her. And isn't that a quality that we all should have? That we should be pliable, that we should be willing to let God move us if we need to be moved, God to do with us whatever He wants to do, and say as Mary did, "Be it unto me according to your word." God, whatever you want, you know best, and you're all powerful, and nothing is too hard for you. And so I will trust you in what you're doing. And that's what Mary did. So the revelation reveals something about Mary. It also reveals some things about Jesus. And I probably should move on a little faster here. In verse 32, it says, "And he shall be great." That is the Greek word mega, or megas. We use that word a lot. unfortunately, we know it usually around mega bars, you know, with unlimited food. You know, it's everything you could you want and more there. And so it excels all others. And so Jesus is one who excels all others. He's also elevated. The angel said to Mary, "He's the Son of the Highest. He will rise above all others," because he is above all others. He is the Son of God. He's God Himself. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so certainly he is elevated. The angel goes on to tell Mary something else about her little baby that she's about to have, that he is going to be king or emperor in verse 32. "He shall be great, Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And since he is the king, we are subjects in his kingdom. The responsibility of people in a kingdom is to obey the king, to honor the king, to live for the king. And certainly in the spiritual world, that is what God expects from us. Even as Mary said, "Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." But the angel goes on and tells Mary that his kingdom will have no end. Your child is going to be a king, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Jesus is king, and he is going to set up a kingdom on earth. When he comes back to earth, there's going to be a 1,000-year rule, and Jesus is going to reign, but he's going to reign in heaven for all eternity as well. And then he says to Mary, "Your son is God. He is the Son of God." And whenever Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, they understood that he was claiming to be equal with God. And because he was claiming to be equal with God, they wanted to crucify him. And eventually they did, but only because he laid down his life for them. And so all of this news is coming to Mary about her baby, about this child that she's getting ready to have, and she's planning for a wedding, and she has this revelation. Well, when we go to verse 39, it says, "Mary arose, and she went with haste." She's going to see Elizabeth. She's heard that her cousin, who was elderly, is about to give birth. But before she goes, we see in this revelation from Gabriel some reassurance in verse 35. The angel answered and said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." And God has made a promise to you, Mary. And the power of the Highest is going to overshadow you. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, because the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. God has promised it. And if God has promised it, we can be certain that it will take place. Verse 36 is where she learns that Elizabeth also hath conceived, and we see the power of God in verse 37. And the angel reassures her by saying, "Mary, God has all power. Do you have faith? Do you believe?" And Mary did. She had faith, and she believed there. And now we see this wonderful thing that God is going to do with and through Mary. Now let's look at the second meeting that she has. She goes with haste to see Elizabeth. She's so excited. We all get excited when we hear that someone's expecting a baby, don't we? People tell us, my wife and me, you know, they find out they're having a child, and we as men, we're glad, you know. We said, "All right, that's good," but not my wife. It's like, yay, you know, and she's just so excited, you know. And can you imagine, here is Mary. She must have been so excited for her cousin Elizabeth is going to have a child. And so she leaves in haste in verse 39, and she's going to see her cousin Elizabeth. And as we look at Elizabeth, we see something about her. We see her perception in verse 41. She came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And this particular time in history, before Pentecost, there was not the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of all believers there, but she was indwelt by the Spirit of God there, and certainly Mary was indwelt by God Himself. Whenever we get saved, the Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. And so we are also indwelt the moment we get saved. But Elizabeth was very inspiring to her cousin Mary. And she said in verse 42, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb there. And when we have perception of God's word, we can encourage other people. And here is Elizabeth. She had an understanding of God's word. And she takes that understanding and she is going to encourage and inspire Mary. But Elizabeth is somehow informed. The Bible doesn't tell us how she knows all of this. But in verse 43, one of the things she says to Mary is, whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So obviously Elizabeth knows that the child that Mary is going to have is the Christ child. She says, you are the mother of my Lord. So she was informed about who Jesus was. But not only was she informed about the baby Jesus, she was also informed about baby John in verse 44. As soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. She also was informed that baby John is a life. Baby John was not just a fetus, was he? And so life begins at conception there. And she had that understanding. She had discernment. And that's what the Bible says that we all have as we are believers. God gives us His Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit guides us and gives us discernment, even about issues of morality, like pro-life and so forth. Well, let's move on to the meeting with the cousin. We've seen the perception of Elizabeth. Now the praise of Mary. As she's beginning to praise the Lord, she reveals some things about herself, and then she reveals some things about her Savior. Let's look, first of all, at three things she reveals about herself. The first thing she reveals is that she has a heart of hope. In verse 45, Mary said, my soul doth, in verse 45, I was in 46, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Elizabeth said, Mary, you are blessed because you believed. She had a message that troubled her, and she couldn't wrap her mind around it, and she was puzzled at it. She didn't fully understand it, but she believed it. And isn't that what God asks of us? Not to understand and comprehend everything that He's going to do, but to trust Him. And she did. And her hope, her belief, was in what God had told her, knowing that God cannot lie. Well, not only did she have a heart of hope, she had a heart of happiness or rejoicing in verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. As I said a moment ago, Mary, even though she was a virgin, she was morally pure, she needed a Savior. People don't go to Mary for salvation. There's no salvation in anyone but Jesus. Mary had to go to Jesus for salvation, her own son. It says, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. She needed to be saved as well. Well, not only did she have a heart of happiness, she had a heart of humility. In verse 48, for God hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And she understood that she was blessed because she was favored. God had given her grace. It wasn't because of anything she was or had done. And a person's view of himself or view of herself speaks volumes about that person. And so here is Mary of a low estate in her humility. She's believing God. She's trusting God to do what God has said he was going to do through her. But the main point of this song of praise, as Mary's song or prayer is often done, about 2 years ago at Christmas, I had an entire message on Mary's song of praise, so we won't take time to go through it in detail like I did a couple of years ago, but she reveals five things about her Savior in her song of praise. First of all, she reveals his holiness. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. There was a difference in Jesus and Mary. Mary was a moral person, but she wasn't the Savior. She needed a Savior. Jesus didn't need a Savior. He is the Savior. He is holy. He is God himself. He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not only did Mary reveal the holiness of her Savior in verse 50, she also recognized his mercy. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. The reason Mary was able to say, "Be it unto me according to thy word," is because she feared the Lord. Remember, we were studying Jonah on Sunday nights, and we'll be in that again tonight. And Jonah told the people on the ship there, "I fear the Lord." Well, we saw how he might have said that. He really didn't fear the Lord, or he would have done what God had said to start with. He later began to fear the Lord, but Mary feared the Lord. And when God came to her and told her of this impossible thing, in her mind, that he was going to do with her, she believed because she feared the Lord, and his mercy is on them that fear him. And God's mercy was on Mary. Also, she reveals his strength or his power in verse 51. He has showed strength with his arm. And we won't take time to look at the Old Testament verses, but in the Old Testament, oftentimes you see the arm of God mentioned, and it is a reference to the second person of the Trinity. It's a reference to Jesus Christ himself. And God said through the angel, the power or the strength of the highest shall overshadow thee. And so she reveals that God is powerful, God is holy, God is full of mercy, and God also is the one who provides. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Our God provides for us here on this July 4th week. We think about how God has provided for us as a nation. And at Thanksgiving, we give thanks to him. And July 4th, we give thanks to God because he has provided. The founding fathers of our country, they looked to God, and he was merciful. They recognized his holiness, just as Mary did. They recognized God's power. They recognized God's provision and gave him thanks for everything. And the last thing that Mary recognized and revealed about God is in verses 54 and 55. He hath holpen, or helped, is the meaning of that. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. God has done what he said he would do. She revealed the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And he was faithful to Mary. He says, Mary, the power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And this thing that seems impossible to you, the thing that seems like it's just interrupting your wedding plans and all of that, God will be faithful. He will take care of all of those things for you. God wants to use you and me as he did Mary and he did Elizabeth. Oh, certainly in different ways that he used Mary and Elizabeth, But he wants to use you and he wants to use me. And the key to that goes back to Mary's response when she said, be it unto me according to your Lord, however you want to use me, whatever you want to do through me, that's what I want as well. And whenever we have that kind of response to God's desire to work in and through us, he's the God of the impossible. He can use you to do some things that you never thought that you could do. Some abilities you don't think you have. Trust God. Have faith in him. For with God, all things are possible. He can have a woman beyond years give birth. He can have a young woman who's never been with a man give birth. He can use you and me. Let's pray.